Let's bring the story to here in New York now, where the city paused at the beginning of the week to honor the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. For the last 16 years, part of that commemoration has been the Tribute of Light, twin beams of light emulating the shape of the Twin Towers, shooting, it seems like forever, up into the night sky. It's a time for reflection, to be sure, but also a time for bird researchers. So this week, Takeaway producer Oliver Lazarus went down to the site where a handful of birders stayed up all night to study the hundreds of thousands of birds drawn to the installation by the tribute.
It's just before 8 p.m. Jessie Adair is lying on her back on the rooftop of a garage in southern Manhattan, and she's looking up.
I'm not a religious person, and I'm not spiritual, but these lights, they're supposedly shooting 4 miles up into the stratosphere. They're breaking through the clouds now, and it looks like they're meeting in a point that's the moon, but it's really like a hole in the clouds they're breaking through. So the lights are breaking through to heaven.
About 100 feet away are two squares of 44 searchlights, each a 7,000-watt xenon bulb pointing straight up that can be seen from over 60 miles away.
In these beams, they look like gossamer curtains. They're not just light beams. They're like they're almost made of fabric.
As the last of the daylight goes, their beams and what's in them becomes increasingly clear.
You can see little things moving, and I heard that they're moths and they're ladybugs, and there's one of the ladies who did these lights said that last week they saw a praying mantis sitting on the lens. These lights are living. They're actually living. They're moving. They're shimmering.
Radar is already showing biological activity in the atmosphere, which we're seeing here too in the form of insects, but the birds will probably start sometime in the next 15 or 20 minutes.
That's Andrew Farnsworth. He works for the Cornell Ornithology Lab.
And I study bird migration. In particular, I'm interested in nocturnal bird migration.
As Americans paused on Monday to commemorate the 16th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, bird researchers and watchers like Farnsworth stayed up all night.
The Tribute in Light is, from a scientific perspective and a birding perspective, a super rare and unique opportunity.
That's because most bird migration happens at night, when most people are asleep, but the lights are still on.
Nowhere can you see it in the scale where you have these incredibly powerful lights taking a snapshot of what's happening over Manhattan.
And it's the right time of year. September and October are when most birds in the continental U.S. are migrating south. The Tribute in Light functions like two giant test tubes, ideal for studying how the light emitted from cities across the country affects the behavior of the millions of birds making their way south. And since birds are considered an indicator species, found in every habitat and environment, Andrew's research is on the cutting edge of how our love of light is affecting non-human animals.
The intensity and the extent of light pollution has, you can use any superlative you like to describe it. It all of them applied. And again, it's all part of understanding, well, what does that mean in terms of ecosystem services that are getting dramatically impacted by some aspect of human behavior?
Andrew Farnsworth is camping out with about 20 other researchers tonight.
I have good old binoculars, typical birder tool, of course. I have these two closed-circuit television cameras to identify the altitude, direction, and speed of birds.
The images look like they're straight out of Hitchcock. There are lots of cameras clicking constantly. There are NASA radars and teams set up on multiple buildings around the site using walkie-talkies to communicate.
There's a downy woodpecker that just landed on the side of the building north of the north beam. Now it's flying left.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. That's crazy.
Also, insect researchers.
There have been a species of cicada, a giant diving water beetle, owlet moths, some perowid moths, and noctuid moths.
I brushed the dead bugs off the lights.
There are even teams of volunteers with the New York Audubon Society, looking up at the lights and counting how many birds and what types of birds they see.
So we're recording the number that we're estimating every 20 minutes, as well as the atmospheric conditions, whether it's cloudy or rainy or things of that nature.
This is the third year I've done it, and it just seems huge, the numbers. They're just, and at various heights. And
when they see large flocks of birds, generally 1,000 at a time, that's their cue to get the light shut down for about 30 minutes.
The big concern is collisions. And, of course, I mean, this is a place where nobody wants to see any more death at all.
And you can actually hear that disorientation through the mics that Farnsworth has set up.
In periods when birds are concentrating at the lights in particular, the flight calling goes through the roof. And it's very likely, because it's associated with birds being disoriented, they're calling to one another probably to try to get information about where other individuals are, which way is away from the lights, etc., etc.
By the time it's midnight, about a dozen birders are pretty much the only people left in the area closed off to the public. But the birds keep on coming.
Tonight, I'd probably say it would be in the 100,000 to 200,000 bird range, maybe. If you look from the radar perspective, maybe not from actual our visual perspective, it might be closer to, you know, that we're seeing 10 to 15,000.
I think the number's 900 or more now.
By daybreak on September 12th, the lights will have been shut off three times, and Farnsworth and his Cornell team will have thousands of pieces of data to sort through, some of it going to Cornell's Macaulay Library, which has the largest collection of wildlife sound in the world, but all of it being used to figure out how birds and other species can survive in an environment that is increasingly dominated by humans. Though on the roof, there's just something fun and new about being there for Farnsworth.
As a child, I was fascinated by movements of birds. There's something different about being able to actually see it and to have a whole other sensory modality to experience what is happening and what birds are doing, and do so in a place that is completely, perhaps, the polar opposite of what you would expect. And yet, when I look up above me, there are, you know, hundreds of birds circling around in the lights. There are redstarts, there are ovenbirds, and I can see them, and I can hear them, and I can understand what they're doing.
At midnight on the rooftop garage, a handful of people are still taking pictures. It's the 16th year of the Tribune in Lights. And for New Yorkers like Jesse Adair, the immediate aftermath of the original showing 6 months after 9/11 is still fresh in her memory. But the little specks and moving dots in the light mean something different now.
A lot of what was moving was ash. That ash not only represented airplanes and buildings and dirt, it represented people. But now, the living things have taken over. The moths and the ladybugs and the praying mantises and everything else that's up there being drawn to the light. They're not stagnant, they're alive. And if that doesn't say something to the world, I don't know what does.
For The Takeaway, I'm Oliver Lazarus.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.